Coming up on KUCB News, the Bishop's House needs help from Unalaskans with painting experience, and small boat fishermen have survived a vessel accident in Bristol Bay. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. This summer marks the start of a three-year project to restore Unalaska's Holy Ascension Cathedral and its nearby structures. Right now, project leaders are focused on the Bishop's House. It has sat idle since a previous renovation effort stalled out about 15 years ago.
It's just been sitting here getting stale. So I'm working right now trying to button up the exterior.
Al Williams is a retired preservation specialist who spent 34 years with the National Park Service. He's based in Wyoming, but he says the agency's Alaska office brings him out for special projects.
The plan is to get this as a up and running quarters for people. And I'm not exactly sure who's going to be able to stay here, but they're trying to make this generate a little funding source.
The grant-funded restoration effort is led by the National Park Service and Russian Orthodox sacred sites in Alaska, but William says Unalaskans can get involved too. He's looking for experienced volunteers to help repaint the Bishop's House as his team finishes the siding, windows, and trim.
We have an enormous amount of work on the ground level that can be done basically about any time.
Williams will be on island to work on the Bishop's House through the end of next week and says volunteers can get involved by contacting the church or swinging by. The church and the Bishop's House are National Historic Landmarks, regarded as some of the oldest and most important examples of Russian Orthodox heritage in the state. Pan Air has canceled all flights to the Pribilof Islands for the rest of the month. In a letter to community leaders, Pan Air's Murphy Forner wrote that the airline needs to conduct maintenance on its aircraft. Forner says Pan Air has already reached out to the customers and made, quote, other arrangements for them. The Pribilof's only passenger airline expects to return to regular service on August 3rd. Last month, St. George Island received permission from the federal government to begin its subsistence fur seal harvest early because the store was running out of food. Flights to St. George are only twice a week and often canceled due to bad weather. Pan Air filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last August. Hundreds of drift boats are in Bristol Bay fishing this summer's record-breaking sockeye run. But over the weekend, disaster struck for one vessel when a strong tidal current sucked it between two much larger ships. KDLG's Avery Lill has the story.
Shortly after midnight on Saturday, July 14th, the fishing vessel Christie lost power. As the tide carried them, the boat floated in the current at 5 knots. Its skipper, Jan Medhog, and deckhand Kyle Brzezikowski worked to restore power to the 32-foot aluminum drift boat. Medhog's wife, Kayla Breeden, went to the stern to hang a protective buoy.
When you're out there fishing for that many days, you just think kind of everything is mundane. So I grabbed my buoy to go out there, but I didn't even put, you know, my rain jacket on, and I almost didn't put my boots on because we thought we were going to clear her.
She could see two large ships, which she estimated were 3 football fields away. The 330-foot-long fish processing vessel Gordon Jensen and the even larger cargo ship Soho. They were anchored about 15 feet from each other. 10 seconds later, after Breeden hung the buoy, the Christie struck the Gordon Jensen. Medhog explained what happened next.
We ended up getting jammed in between the two vessels, pushed up against their Yokohama fender that was between the two of them. We started to violently smash between the two vessels.
The fender, a giant rubber cylinder filled with air and designed to protect the two larger ships from damaging one another, pinned the Christie at the bow. The aluminum boat bounced between the two steel ships.
You could hear it crushing the boat in between. aluminum is strong, but it's not stronger than steel in water with all that pressure. So she cried and moaned and banged really bad for quite a while.
MEDOG radioed the Gordon Jensen for assistance. The fish processor lifted Breeden off the embattled boat in a man basket. MEDOG and Brojakowski attempted to situate the Christie so that she could stay afloat through the incoming tide. They hoped to extricate her from between the ships at slack tide when the boat would no longer be pinned to the fender. From her position on the Gordon Jensen, however, Breeden could see that the men were in more danger than they knew.
And our boat is not a flat deck. We've got a pit in the back for picking, so more water was building up in there. Our deckhand, right before they decided to get off, heard the crying moan of metal twisting. I don't know if you can describe it, but when you hear it, you know, and you leave.
MEDOG and Brojakowski finally clambered onto the fender moments before the Christie capsized, bow over stern, and sank beneath the waves in seconds.
As Jan was stepping off the bow, the stern was taking on all the water and starting to curl under. So 2 seconds later, and he probably wouldn't have been able to get off.
The Gordon Jensen brought MEDOG and Brojakowski aboard in the same man basket that had rescued Breeden just 20 minutes earlier.
So finally, when the guys did get lifted off, I ran up and we all three hugged each other, just like out of a movie.
In the aftermath of the disaster, many loose ends remain. The United States Coast Guard is investigating the incident. Right now, it is not assigning fault in the accident to any party. The senior investigating officer did note that the anchor line aboard the Christie was not long enough to be useful in this situation, where it was drifting in water 40 to 50 feet deep.
You know, certainly an anchor might have helped in this case. I mean, situational awareness is always key, and having the right equipment, you know, knowing your operation, having the right equipment can obviously prevent disasters.
The captains of the Soho and Gordon Jensen have not reported any damage to their vessels. The United States Coast Guard will work with MEDOG on a salvage plan to mitigate any hazards the sunken vessel poses, including pollution risk related to the diesel fuel that was aboard the boat. MEDOG and Breeden flew back to their home in Seattle on Monday, but they plan to return next year.
We're hoping to get a safe boat, and we're probably going to bring our kids next year. What happened to us was a very fluke thing. There wasn't really anything we could have done differently, and I don't think that it could happen again to somebody, but I think we can all learn from what did happen, and thank God for all the other fishermen out there that help each other in the way that it is here in Alaska and on the river.
With help from KDLG's Austin Fast, I'm Avery Lill in Dillingham.
Alaska's U.S. senators are among the Republicans who have criticized President Donald Trump for not standing up to Russian President Vladimir Putin in Finland this week. But beyond strongly worded tweets, is there more Congress can do to show Trump that they disapprove of what some critics are calling capitulation? APRN's Liz Ruskin reports.
In Helsinki on Monday, it seemed Trump was siding with Putin over American intelligence agencies on their conclusion that Russia interfered with the election that put him in office.
I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
24 hours later, Trump walked it back, in a way. He says he meant to say he didn't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia.
I accept our intelligence community's conclusion that Russia's meddling in the 2016 election took place. Could be other people also. There's a lot of people out there.
Senator Lisa Murkowski remains critical of the president.
This has been more than unfortunate. It's been a debacle. So the fact that he is kind of retracing his steps is important, but he sure stepped in it yesterday.
Political scientist Molly Reynolds at the Brookings Institution says lawmakers can deploy more than words.
If Congress is serious about trying to send a message to President Trump that they don't approve of what he's been doing, they have a range of options available to them, and it's a question of whether or not they want to use them.
Among other things, Reynolds says they could pass a bill that protects Robert Mueller's investigation into election interference. On Monday, Trump blamed that investigation for driving a wedge between the U.S. and Russia. Another option, Reynolds says, is senators could withhold their votes for the president's priorities, such as his Supreme Court nominee. Murkowski says she's looked at a few legislative options, including a bill to protect the Mueller investigation. When the proposal first surfaced months ago, Murkowski wasn't enthusiastic.
I just didn't think it was going to be necessary. After yesterday, I just don't know now.
Murkowski rejects the idea of sending a message to the president by blocking confirmation of his nominees. She says when Congress refuses to act on nominations or bills, it moves power to the executive branch.
So if anything, I think it calls for greater congressional action and not a complete blockade.
Senator Dan Sullivan says he hasn't heard any concrete proposals for bills to condemn the president for what he said in Helsinki.
You know, there's some discussion on it. I don't know what that would be.
When asked about congressional action to send a message to the president, Sullivan responded with ways to send a message to Putin.
The best way to push back on the Putin regime, the way that Putin understands more than almost any other thing, is to continue what we've been doing, which is building up our military defenses.
The senator says he doesn't see the need to pass a bill to protect the Mueller probe because he doesn't think it's likely Mueller will be fired. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.